Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. Can you imagine being there and hearing this? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Heavenly Father, we're going to cover some very important things. And I pray, Lord, that it'll help us. Lord, it'll help us in our relationship with you. It'll help us to better provide you the glory and honor that is due your name. Lord, we're going to do it one day in heaven. I pray, Lord, you'll just help us to go ahead and get started here on earth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And I'm going to entitle tonight's Bible study, The Importance of Praise and Worship. The Importance of Praise and Worship. Funny how you can take that phrase, and like so many other biblical concepts and biblical phrases, it seems like it's been stolen by people that probably would be well served to go to Revelation chapter 5 and learn some things about what real praise and what real worship is. Let's stop and take a breath and ponder this for a minute, all right? Years ago, I was driving a bus back from Chicago late one night. We had already did our entire day's worth of bus ministry. The last night rider had been delivered. We'd met at the checkpoint. And there's always a few of us that was elected to just take empty buses back. So I had to take an empty bus back. But we never let somebody just drive by themselves. I always had somebody with them because we were tired. Amen. Keep them awake, and also just for safety's sake. And Rich Stoltz was riding with me, and we were talking about a lot of things, but I could tell he was in a sober mood that night. And he said, Brother Jerry, can I talk to you about something? And I said, well, sure, anything. We were close friends. By the way, Brother Rich is in heaven now. Me and him was the same age. It doesn't seem real. 3 years ago, he passed away, and it's just mercy. I still can't put my mind around the fact that Rich Stoltz isn't here. One of the dearest, most sincere Christians you ever meet in your life. And he said, he kind of hem-hawed around for a little bit. He said, you ever felt like you'd worship the Lord? I mean, have you ever felt like you really worship the Lord? And I just pondered that and thought about it for a while. And I finally said, well, of all the questions to ask, why do you ask me that? And he said, because last night I felt like maybe for the first time in my life I really know figured out what it was just to worship him. And you know what? We had probably another 20 minutes before we got to the bus center, and neither one of us said another word. It wasn't on purpose. I just think both of us kind of went to our own private quiet place at that point. Wow, what a question. You know, have you ever felt like, come on, folks, this is, you know, it's just us. And no use putting on a facade and trying to walk around fool everybody. It doesn't matter what people think we are. What really matters is what we truly are. And when it comes to this matter of getting into the presence of God, really getting into the presence of God, and not just getting in his presence, but getting in his presence for the purpose of worshiping him. And what we see here from verses 8 through 14 is not just those that have been raptured and those that are saved worshiping God, but we're seeing the angels join in. We're seeing the beast before the throne join in. We're seeing the 420 elders. We're seeing a worship service. A worship service. And I want to talk to you about that a little bit. Have you ever truly worshiped the Lord? I hope that your mind didn't go to some contemporary service you went to sometime where you got on emotional and excited because the music had a little beat to it. So next thing you know, you were influenced by people around you and you're waving your hands and rolling your eyes and you come out thinking, boy, I really worshiped God. I don't think you see that here. You're going to see some singing, but I don't think that's what it's about. Let's learn some things about praise and worship tonight by going before the throne of God where we know this is the real deal. We know this is real praise. We know this is real worship. First of all, I want to point out three things, and the first two rather quickly, and I'm going to spend some time on the last one. Number one, notice the position of worship. Look at verse number 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 420 elders, it might be good if you don't mind marking your Bibles to underline this, fell down before the Lamb. Fell down before the Lamb. Jump down to verse number 14. All right, verse 14. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 420 elders, here it is again, fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Both times it was the 420 elders. And again, I believe that that is a representation of the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. I think that's a representation of all of us. And folks, you know what? When they were going to worship, you know what they did? They fell down before God and worshiped. You know, I think that's the position of worship. I do. I mean, I think you can study it from Genesis to Revelation and see when somebody really got before the Lord and really saw God for who he truly is. By the way, when you see him for who he truly is, you'll see you for who you truly are. It's amazing when people got in that position without exception, they found themselves on their face prostrate before God. What does that say? What that says to me is, listen, it's impossible to worship God in pride. I mean, we've got to lay our pride aside in order to worship the Lord. If there's not humility involved, then it's not worship. And I understand, you know, don't come to me with the exceptions, okay? It's amazing when somebody says something like this, everybody's got to come up with a reason why some people can't or whatever. And you're missing the point. If you can't physically get down without pressing your button to get help and waiting there on the floor until the ambulance and the paramedics lift you back up, then I would say that you ought to stay in your chair probably, or really get to know them and go ahead and bake cookies ahead of time, all right? So that they don't mind coming out whenever you want to worship the Lord. I understand that physically you might not be able to, and people can come in. And you know, it's amazing. Why are we wanting to come up with all the reasons not to assume a position of humility? Well, I can bow in my heart. Well, you can also bow on your knees if you're able. And by the way, if you can bow in your heart, you should have no trouble bowing on your knees. Now, why don't we just take a step back and say, why am I arguing and pushing back against this? What's the real problem? You know, folks, listen to me. If we're not careful, we're so full of our own stinking selves. And we've got such a problem with pride that we can't even study the subject of worship without wanting to fight back and fuss back. That's what I think Rich was asking me that night. By the way, I got no details of what happened between him and God the night before. You know what? You say, why didn't you ask? Because there's some things that are holy. There's some things that's just between him and God. I didn't feel like I could ask. You know, well, what would your answer have been if the conversation? My answer would have been, yes, Brother Rich, at that time in my life. I couldn't have always said that. But at that time in my life, yes, I've experienced what it is to worship God. But you know what? I didn't feel comfortable telling him about my experience either. That's why people, the only way they can worship is with spotlights, come on, and smoke machines and microphones and making sure everybody's looking at them. I don't think that has a thing to do with worship. Oh, it does, but it's probably man worship, not God worship. And don't take this to extreme. I think it's perfectly fine for people to stand up before the congregation and bless us with singing. But folks that preach and sing, We ought to all say this. It ought to be done with a spirit of humility, and it ought to be done pointing people to God, not trying to wow people with us. And so think about that. The position of worship. And what they did, they fell down and worshiped him. It'd be good for some of you teenagers for the first time in your life to try this. It's good sometimes to go to your room and close the door and know what carpet smells like. Know what carpet tastes like. Come on. You know, not just kneel. Have you ever just got prostrate before God? I mean, you're such in the presence of God that you cannot in that minute, in that moment, assume any other position than to literally lie flat on the floor in reverence to a holy and mighty God. And so you think about that, the position of worship. Number two, I said I'd get the first two out quickly, the possessions of worship. This is kind of neat if you look at verse number 8. I'm so proud of myself. I got an alliterated outline tonight. Did you notice that right away? Are you taking notes? This is important, okay? And now I got to think of another P here for the third one because it's, no, I'm ready. Come on, get your pen ready. But notice verse number 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Now notice what they had. Having every one of them, they had two things. Harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Now think about this, because I think both these things are very much connected to worship and connected to praise. The first thing that every one of them was equipped with was an instrument that they could make music on. Folks, listen, you know what? Worship ought to happen as we're singing praises to the Lord. Worship ought to happen to prepare our hearts for the preaching of God's word. Why have song service? Just because every other church did. Why do you do it, preacher? Because your dad did it? No, I think I did it for the same reason my dad did it, but I'm not doing it because my dad did it. You know why? I'm doing it is because it prepares the people for the preaching of the Bible. And so, you know what? It's a form of worship. Songs of worship. Look at verse number 9. Look at the opening phrase in verse number 9. And they sung a new song. Did you get that? So worship and music has always been strongly connected. And so, you know what? Let's make sure that our worship, our song service is a worship service. I know there's different kinds of songs. If you look at the different types of songs, some of them are there to inspire us and motivate us to see the lost and to win souls. But you know what? I think probably at least one song in every song service ought to be selected that just causes us to lift up the name of God and to worship God and to honor God and to bring him glory and honor that he deserves. And folks, when the church is singing those types of songs together, now watch this. And everybody in the congregation is not just singing words, but their heart is full into the message and they are singing as unto the Lord. I'm just telling you, I've been in services like that, and there's something about the windows of heaven are open. There's something about God responding to that song of praise and the honor and worship he's receiving and coming in great power in our presence. And why wouldn't that then prepare us to receive the preaching of God's word and whatever he would like to do in our heart? And so think about that, the position of worship, the possessions of worship. We'll spend some more time on singing because it's going to come up a lot of times in the book of Revelation. But secondly, notice this. And I'm going to ask you something, and I can't say that this is for sure, but the second thing that each of the 24 elders has is golden vials full of odors. And then they explains. I love when we don't have to guess what that symbolizes or signifies. I like it when the Bible explains what it is. It makes it easy for us. Golden vials full of odors. Well, what is that, preacher? Which are the prayers of the saints. And so the songs of worship and the prayers of worship, these are the two things that I think properly prepare our heart to meet God and for God to speak to us in a powerful way. Now, here's what I'm going to suggest to you, and then you think about it. And again, I don't think the Bible emphatically teaches this, but if all 24 elders have a vial and they're all full of the prayers of the saints, then could it be that one of the things we're going to receive in heaven is a vial or container that contains our prayers, all of the prayers that we have prayed in all of our life? Think about that. Think about that. If comparing ourselves among ourselves isn't wise down here, I don't imagine we'll be doing it up there either. But if someone were to come over and look in your vial, you know, I think that's convicting. I think that's convicting. How did you feel when you had that thought convicted? Because if there's one area of my Christian life, and I've been very transparent with this, you, and by the way, I feel like I've got a fairly strong prayer life, but I've never got to the point in that area of my life where I feel like I've arrived. I always feel like I could always pray more. I should pray more. I need to pray more. One of the things that has helped me tremendously in this matter of prayer is something Lottie Mattingly taught me years ago when I was down at a camp meeting, and he spoke and he said something. He kind of helped me to separate the two in my mind. When people talked about walking with God, I always just thought what they meant was your morning devotions. You had a time to walk with God. But he said something that I think made a lot of sense to me. He said, you know, your morning devotions is just the opening conversation of a conversation that should not end all day long. He used this example back when we had flip phones, but he took his flip phone out and he said, it's like my opening prayer time is like calling God. And that's the first conversation I have with him. Only, you know what? At the end of that morning devotion time conversation, not hanging up, just put it on speaker and leave it open. And as I need him throughout the day, talk to him. You know, preacher, how long do you pray every day? Everybody wants a magic number so they can know if they're spiritual or not. I don't know. If I ask you, well, how many minutes a day do you talk to your wife? I think you'd look, well, you know what I do? I schedule it for 10 minutes every morning. And I say what I need to say, and I listen to what she needs to tell me, and then I tell her I'll meet you back here tomorrow morning. Yeah, see how that works, you know. And I think that's a good illustration. Does that make it real to you? You know what? You know why we think like that? Because our wives are real to us, but is God really real to us? When we talk about walking with God, can we see him meeting with us in the morning when we have our prayer time and devotions, and then as we walk out the door, we don't leave him there, but he goes with us. It's walking with God. It's an awareness of his presence, no matter where you're at or who you're at with. And I will tell you, when you begin to live that way, it really tempers the way you speak, where you would allow yourself to go, what you would allow yourself to say, what would you allow yourself to hear. You know, it affects you. Amen. You know, somebody might come to you and say, hey, would you like to go down here, you know, to the bar, or do you want to go over here to some place you know you shouldn't be? And you're like, well, I would, but I've got somebody with me, and it would sure embarrass me in front of him, and I know he wouldn't be pleased. Well, you're all alone. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. The Lord's always with me, always walking with me. So those prayers of worship, and I said that because prayers, folks, is a conversation between you and God. It's you communicating with God, asking him throughout the day for wisdom. I went and taught the school kids one time, you know, the importance of prayer in the completion of their studies. And, oh, by the way, 1963, we kicked prayer and Bible out of the public school. How's that gone? Well, there's one school in Greene County that still has prayer and Bible, amen? It's part of every single day. You know, the number one main textbook, I met with a family this week, wanted to put their child in, and I said, this is going to sound, I say it to everybody, I said, this may sound, I want you to just give me a chance to explain what I said, but at first this may just sound, you know, odd to you, but academics is not the most important thing when it comes to what we're doing with our kids out here. I want to say to our parents, academics is not the most important thing when it comes to what we're doing with our kids out here. Now, will they get a great education? They will. But folks, listen to me. There's a lot of educated idiots There's a lot of educated heathen and pagans and atheists and God haters. Okay, that's not top on the list. Most important thing I want for our young people is for them to have a real and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to know God and to walk with Him. And by the time they get ready to graduate, they want to give their lives serving Him according to the will of God for their life. Whatever that is, wherever that is, they're willing, they're ready, they're wanting to go. And so, you know, you think about that. I went out there to chapel one time and I talked to them just on the subject of incorporating prayer in your daily routine as far as your studies. And taught them, of course, we have prayer at the beginning of every day. Brother Young leads them in prayer. Then they go to their desk, they have time. We train them to have a personal time with God. Not for real long, but a personal time with God, some devotions and prayer time. But what a wonderful thing, folks, if a child will just then look at their goal card and see the first subject. Okay, I got to start with math. Reach up and get that math piece, lay it in front of them, and bow their head. And bow their heart. Amen. Before the creator of the universe and say, I mean, listen, I've seen some of your math scores. Some of you need to cry out to God, okay? Some of you need to get prostrate on the floor, okay? We're going to have an issue now. Brother Young's going to be giving demerits for kids laying on their face. But if they're begging to pass math, just leave them alone, okay? You know, if they're taking a nap, wake them up. But, you know, why should that be odd? Why wouldn't that make them a better student? Do you think if you ask God to help you, don't you think He's going to? Don't you think He's going to give the student that has humbled themselves and prayed before they start maybe some extra wisdom and insight that the person one desk over who just grabs it and thinks they can do it all in their own power, don't need to talk to God, don't need to ask God, I got this. Now, if that's good in the classroom, it might be good for us adults. You know, most of us live off of a to-do list, and there's, you know, definite things that we've got to start every single day and we've got to do every single day. And maybe before every brand new task, we could just in our hearts say, now, Lord, I'm getting ready to start this. I'm going to need your help and I need your protection. And God, help me to see what I need to see and help me to do a good job that other people would see and it'd be pleasing to you, good testimony for you. Don't you think, you know, so many times our day is full of frustration. And I just wonder if that frustration isn't just God's way of trying to remind us how much easier life would be if we decided, ever got around to deciding to include Him. You know, I think God's looking down from heaven and saying, you know, you're about to run into a bunch of roadblocks. You don't have to because I can move them. You know, we have not because we... And sometimes God's just going to give us a have-nots, some have-nots. You know why? Because we ask not. Why wouldn't He? Why should He? You know? Because, why is He doing that? Because He's a mean God? No, because He wants us to learn, to have a dependency upon Him. Listen, come on, let's get rid of our stinking pride. Let's show some humility before God. I don't know everything, you don't know everything. We're just going to work it out on our power, and we're going to do it because, you know, with our intellect, and we're going to figure it out on our own. And God sometimes just may sit there for a few hours and just watch you beat your head against the wall. And I think He's up here kind of whistling, going, you know, I'm here. You know, I could help with that. So think about that, the position of worship, the possessions of worship. And then if you'll look, oh, my goodness sakes, this is such a powerful portion of Scripture, but I'm going to give you the phrases of worship because there's some very specific wording that I think can guide us in knowing how to worship the Lord. These aren't wasted things. These are specific phrases. And it doesn't just say they praise the Lord. It tells us exactly what they said. And obviously what they said was pleasing to God. And so we can look at a little bit of a template here. And so let's begin to look in verse number 9. I'm going to try to move through this next section pretty quick here. They sung a new song saying, oh good. It didn't just say they sung a new song. It's going to tell us what the words were. First of all, folks, phrases of worship. Jesus, first of all, we worship you because of who you are. Notice that. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. We're going to see this several places. Verse number 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. We worship you because of who you are. Now, folks, this is Jesus. We get down to verse number 14, and it talks about how they worship both he that sat on the throne and the Lamb. So God is worthy of worship. God the Father is worthy of worship. You know what? He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. Now, we're going to get to what he did, but folks, he's worthy of it because of who he is. Now, think about that, because that's two different things. God deserves our worship and praise simply because of who he is. Now, think about this again. Sometimes when we compare it to human relationship, it helps us to understand. Okay, but many times we express appreciation to someone. Now, think about this. It might seem like a slight difference, but it's a huge difference. We might express appreciation to someone for what they did or what they do. Okay, think about that. When was the last time you expressed appreciation to someone for who they are? You say, preacher, I try to be very appreciative to my wife, you know, and I'll say, honey, thank you for making me breakfast, and thank you for doing the laundry, and thank you, thank you. And that's a perfect, we're going to see, that's part of praise too. But have you ever, when's the last time you looked at your wife and say, honey, I just want to say thank you for who you are? I'm just not connected with anything she's done, but who she is, an appreciation of who she is. And we can do the same thing with our children. Kids, you can do the same thing towards mom and dad, where it's like, mom, thanks for this, and dad, thanks for this. Thank you for working hard, and thank you for fixing my bike, and thank you for, and all that's good to show appreciation for what they do for you. But you know what's really neat is when a child just goes over and puts her arms around her daddy's neck and says, daddy, thank you for just being you. Thank you for just being you. And folks, we're made in the image of God. Don't you think that that God appreciates the fact that all of our praise and all of our thankfulness isn't just kind of, come on, if we're not careful, connected to our own selfishness? I'm thankful because of what you do for me, instead of I'm just thankful for you. And so first of all, we see worship because of who God is. Think about that. Appreciation card, an appreciation card or a note, just because. Okay, got a birthday card. Well, I wasn't surprised. I might appreciate it. They didn't have to, but I'm not surprised. Got an anniversary card. Not surprised. Okay. Some millstone, some significant date. That's a blessing. Somebody remembered. But come on. I think if you ask your wife, maybe the note she appreciates the most isn't connected to any special anything. It's just because you stopped and thought of her. And on a day that has no significance, you just decide to make it a significant day by showing love and appreciation for who she is. So we worship you because of who you are. Now let's look at verse number 9 again. We worship you because of what you did. Now, think about the, let me stop a second here. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and Jesus gave them the model prayer, what we sometimes call the Lord's Prayer. Why don't you just stop about this? Because this is Jesus teaching us to pray. And he says, our Father, which art in heaven, give me my daily bread. Is that what he said? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now this is what this is where prayer and your prayer time can become worship. And folks, for years, and I think if you're honest, we all start this way. For years, my prayer time had a lot of praying. By the way, the word prayer means asking. So my prayer time had a lot of asking, but not much, if any, worship. And then Jesus said, now listen, I'm going to teach you how to pray. Our Father, that's the proper way to address the Lord, our Father. And by the way, what a blessing that you can address the creator of the universe by calling him your father. Woo, come on now. And it was like, okay, I'm going to have you asking for some things here. But before you do, why don't you just thank him? By the way, the word hallowed there, it means holy. It means pure. And you know, it was like, before you ask God for anything, why don't you just thank him for being holy? Why don't you just recognize his purity? And this is kind of what we're talking about here, okay? It's not wrong to ask God for things. But look right up here, I'm going to say it. It's wrong to just ask God for things. That's the only communication we have. Come on, let's get back on that bus. Brother Rich is sitting over there. Brother Jerry, can I ask you something? You know. I don't know what happened between him and the Lord. But you know what I suspect? Because I can tell you, when I felt like I've worshiped the Lord, I'll leave that encounter with God having not asked for anything. I'm just wondering. Me and Brother Rich will talk about it one of these days. Amen. He's up there right now worshiping the Lord, you know. And maybe while he's worshiping him now, he's looking down at what we had down here and said, okay, man, that was nothing compared to this. I don't know. We'll finish the conversation in heaven one of these days. But, you know, have you ever just wanted to be with God to be with God? Have you ever just wanted to thank him for who he is, not just what he's done recently for you? Have you ever come to spend time with him and not need a thing? And even if you did, just choose not to bring it up at this time, because that's not what this visit's about. And so we worship you because of what you did. Now, verse 9, here we go. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Why? For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now, boy, this is quite a gathering that's before the throne of God here. And folks, every kindred's going to be represented. Every tongue is going to be represented. Come on. Every people out of every nation will be before the throne of grace. You know what? Why that's true? Watch this, folks. Worldwide missions. Worldwide missions. Worldwide missions. Worldwide missions. Okay, my good friend Tony Wood, who we support, you know, missionary to the Middle East, him and Trish, Monday morning, got on an airplane, and by nighttime, nightfall that night, maybe a little past that, our time, was in Jordan. And he's got an app he gave me on my phone, had me sign up that we can communicate securely while he's over there. And so come Tuesday, about halfway through the day, bro, did you make it okay or are you all right? He said, Brother Jerry, we're just fine. You know how it is. We're just trying to figure out where we're at, where we need to go, and what's next. And I said, Brother, I'm praying for you. Now, you know, him and his wife's getting off in Jordan, folks. This is the Middle East. This is a Muslim country. By the way, of all of the Muslim countries, Jordan is probably the most American-friendly one. They'll be there for 2 years learning the language and then get direction from God where to go from there. But, preacher, why would it? Brother Tony's not that much younger than I am. I think they're in their middle 50s, something like that. You know, he's 6-7 years younger than I am. Hey, well, why would he leave America and go do that? Because there needs to be people from every kindred. Come on now, every nation, every tongue. How's that going to happen if we don't go tell them? Amen. So we see that we worship him because of what Jesus did. That for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred. Now, folks, I'm not sure we ever ought to have a prayer time or an encounter with God where we do not thank God for Jesus and thank God for Calvary and thank God for our salvation and thank God for the blood. And if you'll do that every time you go to God, your salvation will never get stale and old to you. Okay. We worship you. Well, how about this one? Because of where we are. Look at verse 10. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, folks, listen to me. When we get to heaven one of these days, I think one of the things we're going to be overwhelmed with is the fact that we even get to be there. Because down in our hearts, we're going to know where we deserve to be. And not only we just get to be there, but look at the privileges that God gives us once we are there. I mean, he's going to bring us into his presence, not to work as lowly servants, but to be kings and priests and to get to reign with him. Think about that. That's amazing. So why shouldn't we worship God? You know, even while you're here on earth, folks, sometimes we ought to worship God because of where we are right now in our life compared to where we could be. Okay? Now, how many times have I been before the presence of the Lord and said this to God? God, thank you that my mom and dad got saved when they did. Thank God I was just 5 years of age. Lord, if they hadn't have gotten saved, where would I be? What would my life be like right now? What would I be doing? You know, but by the grace of God, folks, listen to me, the drunkard and the alcoholic and come on, the druggie, that could have been me. It could have been you. We worship you because of where we are. And then you get down to this wonderful list, and I want to direct your attention to these verses. Wow. So powerful. Then he begins to become very specific in how he begins to worship God and what he begins to thank the Lord for. And so we see next, we worship you, we worship God because of his divine attributes. And these are worship words, folks, attributes of God and Christ that we should acknowledge, be thankful for. You know, people say, well, I spent a half hour in the presence of God just worshiping him. And you may just be scratching your head saying, you know, I after 30 seconds, I'm not sure what I would say. Folks, if you start just going down the list and just recognizing all of the wonderful things that's true about God and take time to give him all the things that he's deserving of. Think about that. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, I already mentioned that about the Lord's Prayer. But you know what? Verse number 12, let's look at verse number 12. Watch this. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Now think about this. Every one of these are separate and you know, how late you want to be tonight, all right? Think about this. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He's worthy to receive some things. Receive them from who? Receive them from us. Not just us, me. Say your name there. Amen. Receive them from Jerry Ross. He is worthy to receive these things from me. Well, what is he worthy to receive? Power. Folks, think about this. Tell Christ he's worthy of praise and acknowledge his power. Acknowledge his power. This is why I think David, we're going to read a lot of Psalms right now. Just, you know, all right. If you get bored listening to the Bible being read, you're about to be bored a lot, okay? So put your seatbelt on. Psalms 21:13. This is why David was considered a man after God's own heart. You know why? Because David was the worship king of all the kings. I don't believe anybody worshiped God like David worshiped God. He wrote things like this. Psalms 21:13. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. So David would just stop and take time just to spend some time worshiping and praising God for how powerful he is. You know, we've seen some of these storms that have come through. You know what? I think it's been healthy for America. Preacher, I don't like them. They make me nervous and terrible things have happened and people have been hurt. I'm going to tell you, look at all the storms and how merciful God has been. Amen. I think God's not doing it so he can kill a bunch of people. I think he's doing it to get a bunch of people's attention. Okay? He's been very merciful to us in these storms. But, you know, every once in a while, odd as it may sound, when some of these incredible storms come through I think the entire skies are filled with the power of God and a display of the power of God. I'm not one that runs to the basement. I run to the back porch. I know I shouldn't. And kids, go to the basement. Do whatever mom says, all right? If not, you may get a real close view of it. So, but there's sometimes we ought to just sit there and look at this and be reminded of the power of Almighty God. You know, in Psalms 147:5, great is our Lord and of great power His understanding is infinite. Now, this is what I thought. David praised God for his great power, and because of that, God was willing to display his great power. You know, who did God allow to go down into a valley and kill a giant? The one that had already been praising God because of his great power. And it's almost like, listen, you know, if you brag about your child every day for 7, 8, 10 days in a row for a certain attribute, you know what they'll do? They'll strive to display that attribute and better that attribute. And you know, it's listen, David just came to God all the time telling him, I just love how powerful you are. And I recognize your power and I praise you for your power. And guess what? When David went to war, God said, well, you know what? I'm going to show him some of my power. Think about that. And acknowledging his power. 8 times in the book of Revelation, God is called the Almighty. 8 different times. The Almighty. I mean, Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 4:8, and the four beasts, which had each of them 6 wings about them, they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Revelation 11:17, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which are, you know, that'd be, hey, are you not seeing the power of God like you feel like you ought to see the power of God? Then why don't you start addressing him, Lord God Almighty, when you pray to him? Why don't you just take some time before you ask anything and just tell him how powerful he is and thank God for how powerful he is. And Lord, you stepped out into nothing and you spoke and worlds came into being and the universe was created and everything. God, you are a great God. You are an almighty God. You are a powerful God. Thank you for being so powerful. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And you know what? God wants to take that power and he wants to unleash it in our lives. He wants it us to have it available for, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But I just don't think he's going to be as inclined to send his power to someone who never recognizes, never worships him and praises him for being the Almighty God. Revelation 15:3, 16:7, 16:14, 19:15, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nation. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God. No. Almighty God. Revelation 21:22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So he acknowledged his power. Next on the list is riches. When's the last time we just bragged on God for how rich he is? Come on. You've heard your preacher say it. Psalms 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. I love Psalms 50. I'm going to read this. It's just so powerful, several verses. Like I said, if you don't like the Bible being read, take a nap right now, all right? Because it's much more important to be awake to hear what Jerry Ross has to say than what right out of the Word of God, you know. This is, yeah, just filler. Amen? Hear, O my people, Psalms 50. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God. Now, this is God speaking. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in a day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glory in me. And he's like, you don't even know how rich I am. And you're down there doing without, you're down there living a defeated life, and you know why? You have not because you ask not. And he said, I own all of this, and you won't come and acknowledge my riches. Acknowledge my riches. I'm not making this up, folks. You can look at it in verse number 12 again, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches. What's the next one? Wisdom. You know what? We ought to spend some time in his presence acknowledging his wisdom. Come on, James 1:5. This is what's awesome. Is God wise? Yes, he's wise. says in Daniel said this, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. For wisdom and might are his. Right. Belongs to him. And you know what's so amazing? He makes us a promise in James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given to thee. And you know what? Why don't we just spend some time, first of all, acknowledging and thanking God that he is the one who possesses all wisdom. Come on, it's true of me and it's true of you. Every one of us go back in our lives and look at places in our life where we made bad decisions. And I almost promise to a one, if we were honest, we made that decision without asking God for wisdom. There's nobody to blame but me, and there's nobody to blame but you in your life. Come on now. And you know what God will do a lot of times? He'll just sit back and let you make a dumb decision. When he's sitting up there saying, do they not understand that I possess all wisdom? Why are you making decisions in life? Young people, are you hearing me? Why are you making decisions in life? Man, from 18 to 25, in that little window, you make some of the biggest decisions that will absolutely form the direction of the rest of your life, and you're going to run off and live those years away from church and away from God and never cracking open a Bible and never bowing a knee in prayer. Are you insane? You know, I'm sorry. This is where the word stupid wants to come out, because it's not like you haven't been taught better. I mean, that's just moronic. You know, you're wise enough, though, without God or anybody else, that you're just going to leave church at 18 and then go out there in about 35 when all the consequences of your moronic decisions start coming home to roost. And all of a sudden, you know, now you're interested in trying to find God so he can help bail you. And I'm not trying to hurt anybody here. And if that's what happened in your life, I'm not saying this. I'm saying this to try to save some kids up here. I'm just tired of seeing the same dumb cycle over and over and over again. Wake up. Brother Tom, when me and you turned 18, we didn't run from God. We ran to God. Didn't mean we did everything right. Didn't mean we made every decision right. But we weren't trying to live a life outside and away from God. All right, what's the next one? Oh, here we go. Strength. How about strength? You need strength today? I know someone who has it. Yes, Psalms 89:8. O Lord God of hosts, who is strong? Who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee. I love Psalms 24, verse 7 and 8. Listen to this. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Amen. You know, when you're weak, it sure is good to know someone who's strong. Look right up here. When you think you're strong, it's sure good to know someone who's really strong. Amen. What's the next one? Honor. I think this is a template. Hey, folks, this is John getting to go to heaven and see a praise and worship service that is truly a praise and worship service. And it wouldn't have, if it's not right, it wouldn't have been happening. God wouldn't have allowed it. And you know what? I don't hear anybody asking for anything yet. And then we compare that to our relationship with the Lord. And listen, I'm not here making assumptions, but every one of us need to hold ourselves, come on, up to the scriptures. And let the scriptures become that mirror and say, you know what? What kind of relationship do I really have with God? Is it a selfish relationship? I don't like that leaving the phone off. I want to go meet with God and then say that I had my time with him. And then, you know, the other 23 hours and 45 minutes, I kind of just want him staying out of my business. Unless I really need him for something, unless something really goes wrong, and then you know what, I want to be able to ring a bell and he's like the servant boy that comes. No, he's supposed to ring the bell and we're supposed to be the servant boy. It's just, folks, again, humility. Let's give him honor when we're in his presence. That's the next one. Psalm 66, 2. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. I love that little phrase. Make his praise glorious. We did an entire school program one year. And the name of the school program was Make His Praise Glorious. And you know, a lot of times we'd put on a dramatic presentation or we'd do a play and we'd done all of this. But that particular time, all we did was take the stage and build it into a choir loft. And we just put the kids up here and song after song and testimony after testimony. And you know what? Every once in a while, the kids would say this together. Sing forth the honor of his name. They'd say it again. Then they'd say it again. Sing forth the honor of his name. And then the girls would say, make his praise glorious. And then the guys would say, make his praise glorious. Brother, I'm getting goosebumps. I mean, I was there. I was watching. I was directing it. And I'd seen it, I don't know how many times before they did it. But that night when they were doing it, because we taught them. Listen, I'm not interested in them. You know, we don't need a bunch of robot little boys and girls around here that can quote verses but don't understand what they mean. You know, I can show you people that, you know what, come on, grew up in an Awana program or a mass. It doesn't matter which program. I'm not attacking the program. But they got little medals for memorizing 1,000 verses, and they're out of church today. Okay, now are you against memorization? No, we do a ton of it. But I love what Brother Young does, because you know what? When we pick a monthly portion of Scripture, he doesn't just have them memorize it and just drill them on it. That month, he goes through it phrase by phrase, verse by verse, and talks to them about what it means. Because you know what? What good are the words if we don't let it touch us? And those kids that night was saying, make his praise glorious. I watched teenagers with tears running down their face. Make his praise glorious. And then they'd sing another song that honored and lifted up the Lord. And then they'd quote some more verses. I mean, you know, it wasn't the longest program we ever did. Probably wasn't the most, maybe dramatic program we ever did. If you weren't into that kind of thing, you know, the whole praise and worship in God thing, you know. If you wanted to be entertained yourself, it probably wasn't as big a deal to you. I think it may have been one of the best things we ever done. You know, Sister Tina helped me with that, by the way, Brother Bud. She did a lot of that. Psalms 104:1, bless the Lord, O my soul. Come on, we're talking about give him honor. O Lord, my God, for thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Psalms 145:5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous work. You know why I keep telling you, folks, if you're going through tough times, get into the book of Psalms. You get in that last 10 chapter, especially about the last five. I think you ought to just sometimes go to the backyard or go out the garage, get somewhere alone and just read them out loud to God, and then read them again to God, and then read them till they touch your heart, and read them till you're speaking them right to him. And folks, we need this book to become real in our lives. We need God to become real to us. Well, I need this. 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 Next word is glory. Give him glory. Come on, we say a lot about that around here. Psalms 57:5, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Psalm 72:19, and blessed be his glorious name. His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Now, and I didn't add that. It's in the verse right there. But I'll add mine now. Amen and amen. Psalms 108:5, be thou exalted, O God, above the earth, and thy glory above all the earth. Psalm 66, verse number 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name and make his praise glorious. Then the last one there is blessing. You know, you ever give, just bless the Lord? Psalms 34:1, come on, this is the praise king. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2, same chapter. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Psalms 104:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, for thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. And then we get down to the last two verses. Can we just look at them? Are you still in Revelation there? Look at verse 13. And every creature, I mean, while they're going down through this list, and then it says, and every creature, which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in the seas and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing. And these are some of these four are a repeat of what we've already said. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. That moment right there, folks, I tried to imagine it and I just can't. But I'm going to be there. And if you're saved, you're going to be there. And you're going to be involved in it. So you might as well practice up down here a little bit. Amen. Then look at verse 14. And the four beasts said, amen. Woo! The chapter ends with a hearty amen. And the 24 elders did what? This is how the chapter ends. And then we go down to what we're about to. Okay, this is the closing shot. And the camera's going to fade down towards earth. And we're going to talk next week about what's going on down here. But folks, listen to me. We're not going to be down here if we're saved. We're going to be up there if we're saved. We ought to be more excited about what we'll be doing up there than what's going on down here. So let me read the whole verse and then we'll pray. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Heavenly Father, oh, I hope this helps us, Lord. I think I pastor sincere people, and I think I pastor people that do love you and do worship you. And Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you'd help us to maybe be better at it going forward. Maybe know a little more specifically what is pleasing for you to hear from us. What means something to you? Lord, I pray, dear God, if we're going to, from time to time throughout the ages of eternity, have these type of praise and worship moments around the throne, if that's what eternity is going to look like, Lord, it'd be good if we could start doing that now. Lord, just make us a thankful people, appreciative people. Lord, may we be as excited about spending time in your presence, worshiping you, as we are about getting a prayer answered or something that we need. And thank you, Lord, that you want to hear those things also. Lord, thank you that that's part of what you've invited us to come and talk to you about. But Lord, I hope that's not all you hear from us. And I pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts right now, dear God. I think back at that moment, stuck through with me all through the years. Two young men, early 20s, trying to do right, trying to live for God, trying to serve him. Thank you for Brother Rich. He always challenged me spiritually. Always challenged me spiritually. I miss him. Lord, there we are on a bus. Brother Jerry, can I ask you a question? You ever felt like you really have worshiped the Lord? Lord, I know he's seeing you now. I know he's doing it now. Lord, the best I can, and Lord, in this old temple of flesh, dear God, the best we can as a church, help us, Lord, to know what it is to worship you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.